This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
Oh, y'all, it's Monday. I kid you not, every time it's Monday, I literally stop and go, how did the entire weekend go by? I'll tell you how. I got on an airplane Friday morning, flew to Seattle, gave a two-day lecture training. It was phenomenal. These things are always really powerful. So that was my last lecture of the year. I think I was in 8 cities this year. That's not too many. But next year, I think I'll be in 10 or 12. So I'll let you know. I hit all the big ones. I can't even remember at this point where I went, but it's like Chicago, Denver, Seattle, Albuquerque, Austin, Dallas. How many is that? Anyway. Toronto, Vancouver, and then soon I think there'll be Alaska. Top secret. I'm not supposed to say that. Okay. And let me share this with you. So at the hotel next to the one I was staying at, which was kind of a bummer, I'm gonna put this out there. Hilton, your staff was super rude. Your staff in Seattle was shockingly rude, consistently. There was one person that worked there who was really super friendly, but everyone else was probably pretty much consistently rude. Hilton downtown. It was really disappointing. We probably won't be staying there again. But that's where the organizers put me up, because we had the conference spaces there. But at the hotel next, the very friendly Hyatt next door, a very gorgeous, clean Hyatt with very nice staff, they were having a furry convention. And that is people that, it's actually quite an extensive umbrella term, where it's people that really relate to an animal side. For some, it's transhumanism, where they're outside or beyond human, and they relate to these animal selves. It's really a beautiful, authentic practice. For others, it's a very sexualized, eroticized thing. For some, it's just another part of their identity. Anyway, there they were. It's on my IGs in the photos. I asked permission. They were very excited to be in the photo. I was getting a little turned on and hot being around all that. I'm not going to lie. Now, those that are familiar with my work know that I pretty much am turned on by everything and anything. Like, I'm sitting here eyeballing my water bottle. I'm like, how you doing? Because if you're brave enough, anything can be a sex toy, right? We've heard that before. So I was around these furries for a decent amount of time. Because you know me, I'm outgoing, I'm friendly, I'm open. I want to just hang out, talk, build more community. But yeah, I was like, whew, is it hot here? No, because we're outside in Seattle. Anyway, question of the night's up on Loveline IG. What impact has social media had on society? It's an important one. Let's start off the show by talking about why. Idris Elba. If you're not familiar with him, I don't know what rock you've been under. That is one handsome, handsome man. A phenomenal actor. I pretty much love everything he's ever been in, including that really, really bad Kate Winslet film that no one saw about a plane crash in the snow. That was bad. But anyway, I digress. He removed himself from social media because he said it made him depressed. Now, I talk a lot about dating app and social media burnout, and the signs are a lot of anxiety and depression and compulsivity around going on. And I say to people, try to take note, because that just might be what's impacting your mood negatively. It might be your social media use. And he took a break. Everyone I know that's taken an extended break has had nothing but positive feedback around it. I've never done it. I've not been able to do it. It gives me a lot of anxiety at the idea of not being on my social media. I also have to utilize it professionally, but that gives me anxiety. But I also use it appropriately. So the way I always work with it with people, as I say, if you're in a good mood and you're feeling solid, go on. If you're feeling a little depressed, bad, or lonely, don't. Because it's not going to provide what you're looking for, and it might make you actually feel worse. But he was coming out in the news talking about how he removed himself from social media. It was making him depressed. And it was really time well used. I think that's awesome. It's fascinating when you look at your phone and it tells you how much screen time you've used looking at your phone, and it can be heartbreaking. Oh my gosh. There's been days where I was like, I'm sorry, how many hours did I have that phone in my hand? Yeah. I can feel it. I can feel it in my actual hand sometimes. Like my hand is the sore. Yeah, and my thumb. Apparently also I don't tend to hold and type like most people. Someone one day was really watching. They're like, that's how you type? And I'm like, yeah, y'all don't do it like that. And they're like, no. So I'll have to demonstrate for y'all later. Okay, so I was telling you guys about this story last week, and there's an add-on to it. It gets better. So telling you about how there's this gay couple. They were together forever in their 50s, I believe. One of them started dating his daughter's ex-boyfriend. They all then decided to live together. The married gay dads and the daughter's ex-boyfriend, who's now dating the one dad, and the two guys that were married were separating, but they're all living together as a happy family. No one in the story checked in on what the daughter thought of all this. It was just kind of some secondary or tertiary afterthought. But there's an update to the story. The young boy, who is 25, and the older gentleman, who's now his boyfriend, they are going to both fertilize an egg and have a surrogate carry their child in the next couple weeks and have a child together. That's right. The headline is gay dad plans to have twins with daughter's ex-boyfriend. Oh, I love life and I love the world. And here on Love Life, we're always giving you the hard hitting news. This is kind of amazing. Country and pop music lovers are mostly bottoms, says a new survey. Now, what's amazing is two things. One, that this survey was even done. And number two, the other things that came out of the survey. So according to a new study by TickPick, ready for this one? So they surveyed over 1,000 people who enjoy listening to music and are sexually active, and they broke it on down. So they wanted to look at which genres are most and least satisfied with their sex lives. Country music fans are the most satisfied with their sex lives. Somehow, I'm not shocked. Pop music fans, least satisfied with their sex lives. Guess which musical genre fans, you know what I'm saying. Which genre had the people that like doggy the most? Doggy style. Hip hop. They prefer doggy style most. And guess who prefers BDSM the most? Indie rock fans. And also, ready for this, show tune fans.
What?
Yes. But the most powerful point was that fans of country music, show tunes, pop, alternative, all preferred to be bottoms. We're including country. But those that like to be on top are into reggae, folk, and EDM. I love science. All right, coming up next, we're going to be talking about some shocking facts women learned about their own bodies from men. Oh, you got to stick around and hear this one. Listen to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Love Line. This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right. Question of the night. It's up on our Love Line at GPH. Question is, what impact does social media have on society? Bam. It has a big one. It's actually everything. It's actually one of the most important forms of socialization. So, but I want to hear your thoughts. That's my thoughts. All right. So ready for this one? This is going to make you laugh. This isn't to mock anyone. This is, however, to highlight, though, how important sex education is and how badly we need it. Because what I'm going to be reading to you are some facts that women were told about their own bodies by men in their life. I don't know what the definitions are of men and female in this story, but we're going to go with it. But again, not to make any men feel bad. This isn't anti-male, but this is, again, a reminder that like we got a lot of education to do if this is where we're at. And again, we're going to be a little lighthearted and enjoy this one. So these are coming in from Twitter. Someone tweeted in, and just looking at people's Twitter names these days, they're amazing. Like sometimes their names are just funny enough looking at the names. Anyway, this one wrote in saying she was told by someone she was dating that he thought that women still had periods when they were pregnant. And that women could only get their periods at the beginning or end of the month, but never in the middle. Oh, yeah, that one's good. But wait, this one's the best. This is among my favorite. We're going to read a few. This one wrote in saying, I knew someone once who thought a pregnant woman could get pregnant while pregnant, which essentially meant she'd be carrying several children in different states of development at the same time. Bless.
What?
Bless. This is a sign of how much work we still need to do educationally. You can't make this stuff up. Like, even if you told me to make one up, I couldn't even make that one up. That one's good. What else do we got here? Someone else was told that I found out about halfway through a 2.5-year relationship that my boyfriend thought I couldn't pee when I had a tampon in because doesn't it all come out the same hole? I have actually been with some women. They were in older age brackets that didn't realize that the urethra was not in the vagina and that there's other holes down there than just one. Yeah. But he thought she couldn't pee out of there because the tampon's in there. I love this stuff. Here's another good one. Someone tweeted in saying, my ex-husband thought that menopause meant your uterus fell out. He's 50.
Oh.
Yeah. But then here's some ones where women were sharing that guys aren't even too sure about their own anatomy. these penis owners, God bless them. Someone tweeted saying, I once had to inform a mid-20s cis man that he was circumcised. He thought he hadn't been. I gotta sit with that one for a little bit.
What?
Yeah. I'm almost want to be like, send pics. I need to investigate that one. Someone else wrote in saying, this man had a bachelor's degree in biology. He referenced breasts as marmalary glands in a winning moment. And then someone tweeted in response to that one, as if they produce marmalade after childbirth instead of milk. It's a sweetener alternative. Oh, bless. We're just going to stop there. So that's all we can handle. God. All right, coming up next, we're going to be talking about some cute little things that happy couples do for each other each night. These are to inspire, not to make you feel bad. It's our goals. All right, listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. Question of the night's up on our Loveline IG page. Now we're going to talk about some things that I want to inspire you. I want to inspire you because there's things that, you know, can make us feel bad about what we're not doing or what we don't have. And these are the kinds of things that can try to propel you towards what you could do, what you should seek. And don't make this one of those things where you weaponize it and say, why do you not do this for me? But instead, use it as inspiration for you to do it to your partner. Because remember, it's a feedback loop. And we can start to create the kind of relationship we want to have. Because if we show up differently, our partner then has to be different. Because they're responding, reacting to someone who's different. So know that if you're not feeling all this love and care and romance, you can start to kind of build that in. And then it can start to kind of send that message and create something of, you know, somewhat of a more romantic relationship. So here's some little things happy couples do for each other every night. Some of them I was kind of like, eh. Some of them I was like, yeah. One of them is, oh gosh, some of them are adorable. Some of them are a little too cliche. But some people were writing and talking about the things that they do. They set the coffee maker so it's ready to go in the morning. See, I love stuff like that because I'm a coffee guy. And one of the things that I think is so annoying in the morning is when I have to wake up. I'm a French press coffee guy, so I grind my own beans, put it in the French press. I like it fresh. I like it strong. Yeah, I know. I'm seeing like eyeballs at me like, say what? I know. I don't call that bougie. I call that self-care. I don't call that bougie. I call that confident. I don't call that bougie. I say, I'm worth it. I'm worth it. I use that a lot. I'm worth it. I'm worth this. I'm worth spending this much. Okay, so that's one adorable thing. Make me coffee. Let me make it like this. Let me make this about what I want. So anyone that wants to date me or is dating me, these are things you need to do. Make me coffee in the morning. Grind those beans. Make that French press. Make it strong. Okay, another one. They make dinner for their partner and do the dishes. Oh. I've never done that. I've never in all my life made someone dinner.
You eat out always.
I eat out always. I like when people cook for me, though. It's very shocking because it's so rare. And I've had some people make some really bad stuff, and I still was so touched by the fact that they took the time to do it. It's adorable.
Cooking vegan is hard, though.
Cooking what?
Vegan.
Cooking vegan?
Making it good.
And making it good?
That's why you eat out.
That's why I eat out. How dare you? I'm like feeding. That is not true. It's adorable, though, when people try to make me vegan meals that aren't vegan. I'm so touched because that's really a sign of care. So I'm just touched when people don't complain about the fact that I'm vegan. They're like, oh, how interesting. How great. Anyway, I digress. After dinner walks. That is adorable. I love walks. I like dates that are just walks. It shows that we have enough in common and enjoy each other that we don't need anything. I love a date that doesn't require that much of a backdrop or a landscape, where it's just the two of us together, just being there. Oh man, we can be anywhere. I love an after dinner walk. My ex-fiance and me actually used to take walks. It was the most adorable, beautiful thing ever. I miss that. That's adorable. This one is specific. They fill up the water side. They filled the bedside water jug and set the thermostat. Okay. I don't know about this bedside water jug. I don't know about water by the bed, though. Doesn't that mean you're up all night peeing? Because you're whatever. They give foot massages. I'm making this segment all about me. I love foot rubs. I love getting my feet massaged. That is like the key to my heart, is I know I can be what's on long term when I'm just laying there and they just pick up my feet and they start rubbing away. That is the key to my heart. I'll give them back too, but that is literally how I fall in love with you. Another cute one is prepping lunches for the next day so their partner doesn't have to. Again, never had that done before for me. I think that is so beautiful and stunning. Someone made me a little vegan lunch, or made me my little breakfast vegan shake, my little raw shake. They kiss goodnight no matter what. That should be built in. No matter how much we're not getting along, no matter how much hate we're feeling, kiss each other goodnight, connect to the parts of each other that is still there, that's full of love, because that exists, right? I loved you before the fight. I have to circle back and partake in that. Kiss, 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 kiss goodnight. Love that. That's adorable to me. I think that's one of the sweetest, most simplest things ever. Another one is never forget to say thank you for the little things. I think that's beautiful, especially like the things we're talking about tonight. Because as you're noticing, all the things we're talking about are just acts of care. They cost nothing, except for my French pressed coffee beans. They light candles, create a relaxing atmosphere. That's adorable too. I had an ex who used to always do that. Would light candles, and I'd come home, and they were just you could smell them and see them, and then I'd lay back and I'd get my feet massaged. I'm telling you, that's heaven. Because you know what comes after a foot massage sometimes. Working them hands further up. You know what I'm saying? That's right. Y'all don't want to see what producer Jeffrey's doing over there with his arm. That was ungodly, illegal, and disgusting. I would never allow such things to happen on the first couple dates. Okay, someone else said they tuck each other in even when they go to bed at different times. That's adorable. That's so sweet. Tuck each other in. Aw, that's cute. Someone else said they do whatever they can to ensure their partner gets a good night's rest. I'm one of the world's lightest sleepers. I cannot sleep next to someone who snores. Mm. And so for me, that might mean they lay down, we fall asleep, and then they go sleep on the couch.
Sleep on the side.
Or on their side, apparently. I don't know. I don't think I could be in a long-term relationship with someone who snores. It just, I'm a very light sleeper. I can't not sleep. It would keep me up. It has historically. What else we got here? That one we did. That one was very cute. They leave encouraging notes on the nightstand. I dated two people who left me love notes all the time. On my laptop, they'd write on a little thing and stick it in one of my books so I'd stumble upon it. Yeah, I have a collection of them. It's so adorable, like in marker, like little I love yous and I'm thinking about. Oh my gosh, so sweet. And again, free, cheap, simple. This one, they squeeze toothpaste on their partner's toothbrush.
What?
Too much? Not cute? Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, I'm all right doing that on my own. Like, I don't need you to toothpaste up my toothbrush. We got two left. Give each other sweet forehead kisses.
Aww.
You think that's sweet?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And then finally, they snuggle to warm up their perpetually cold partner.
That's so sweet.
I'm always hot, so I'm always like, turn the air off, get off me. No, I'm a cuddler snuggler, so I appreciate that. I'm very affectionate. People are surprised to hear that sometimes. I'm very hyper affectionate. Constantly touching.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very touchy-feely, constantly snuggling, pouring myself all over them. Question of the night. Tonight's question is, what impact does social media have on society? A huge one. Surprise twist at the end. So weigh in on that. And coming up next, we're going to be sliding into those DMs. And then later we got Wesley Woods joining us talking about X-Files. That's right. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back. And now it's time to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding into DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. All right, we got a caller on the line. We got Dr. Chris with Dr. Chris. Hey, Chris, you're on with Dr. Chris. How's it going?
Well, hi, Dr. Chris. I guess this is Dr. Chris, too.
Oh, I love it. We finally meet, the two of us. My twins.
How about that?
What's going on? How can I help
you? Yeah, how about that? There's a thing I wanted to talk over with you and see if you had insights from your research about falling in love and then having a lasting relationship. I was listening on NPR, and there was this big TED talk out of England about research they had done, where they did kind of experiments with couples on first dates and second dates, and then they had a battery of like 35 questions, and these were designed to get people to kind of grow together or something, and basically a lot of the, I don't remember the data, but a lot of people actually fell in love because of the questions. In any case, you know, what are the conditions where people fall in love? Because I wanted to give you our story, And it's as I listened to the TED talk, I thought, I don't know if these guys' research fit what happened with us, but here's my story. And then you can kind of comment on this kind of stuff. Well, I'm an academic, and you know, kind of 67 years old, and my wife is a social worker, and pretty, you know, highly educated people. We met by circumstances on way back in 1979, and within 2 days, and this was after I'd had a divorce and she'd been dating people forever, looking for somebody. But after 2 days, we were convinced we had found the loves of our life and we were engaged. And here we are 40 years later.
Oh, beautiful.
And I really have had a spectacular marriage with this woman. And we're pretty conscious of how it happened and what the elements were. You know, everybody has hard times and stuff, but anyway, this kind of stuff, I suppose, is not that common. And we were pretty ecstatic with each other back then, and we're pretty damn ecstatic about each other today. And that's despite all this stuff about phases of living in life where women and men have different periods of phasing. Yeah, like men get more interested in their relationship later and the women want independence and that kind of stuff didn't happen to us. So I wonder what your database in your head is, you know, about falling in love like that and it being successful.
Oh,
you know, what the hell, you know, our case is really, it really is different. Okay?
Yeah. I think it's a beautiful question. You know, I was engaged for a while and my fiance on our first date, a couple hours in said, I'm falling in love with you. And I thought that was such a profoundly beautiful, vulnerable, honest moment. And I think that that can be real. The way I tend to look at it, because, you know, doing the radio show and I travel and lecture, people want like sound bites and they want mantras or they want a framework. I usually tell them what they need to think about is compatibility and chemistry, and that those are two important forces that are very different. Where chemistry are those initial powerful forces that draw us together, make us do the work to reach out to each other, to go on dates, but that a little later than that, compatibility shows up, and that's tested in times of conflict when we see what it's like when the two of us really have to weather life together and what kind of partner they're going to be over the long term. And so I usually do say in general, don't make long-term commitments until you've had a few times of conflict to really see what kind of compatibility is there, because early on the chemistry's there. Yeah, and the chemistry is so important and it's so strong, but we don't necessarily want to put all of our trust and faith just in the chemistry. We want to stick around through some of the fights and the conflicts and check in on the compatibility. All right, thank you so much for that. We got our question of the night up on our Loveline IG page. Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris coming up next, we got Wesley Woods joining us. All right, we're back, and tonight we're talking with Dr. Jen Wider. Dr. Jen, so scouring the internet, I'm always bumping into really interesting and problematic concepts and questions, and one of the things that comes up, not unfrequently, is people talking about vaginal smells and odors and what they mean and what we need to be worried about and concerned about. What are your thoughts on that topic?
You know, this is one of those taboo topics, I think, where a lot of vagina owners may feel very self-conscious of the odor or the smell that comes from their genitalia. You know, in the same way that we spoke a couple weeks ago about people feeling really self-conscious about their bodies, about how there's always this body norm that everyone wants to ascribe to. When I told you there was a rise in labiaplasty, you know, in young people under the age of like 19, the numbers are staggering when doctors are hearing from patients that they want to change the way their labia look because they're worried that it's not the same as everyone else. The same really is true here for the odor that comes from a vagina. And the truth is, you know, if you ever saw Eve Ensler's The Vagina Monologue, she does a phenomenal job Oh, you'd love that,
okay,
Chris. That's a great show for you. Definitely. And you can certainly find it, you know, a copy of it, definitely see it. But one of the famous monologues is about how there are all these products out there to make your vagina smell like spring rain or, you know, a fir tree or a Christmas candle. And, you know, the issue, of course, is that there is a smell to our vaginas, and they, you know, they don't all smell the same, just like everybody doesn't smell exactly the same. It can vary from person to person, but for the most part, a healthy vagina has an odor, and women need to feel comfortable with that kind of scent. The issue is, of course, that that when it comes to products that are designed to mask the odor or change the odor, they can be very dangerous. And that's one of the reasons why douching, which was so popular back in the 70s and 80s, has completely gone out of style, because it can cause the rise of infections for people that have vaginas. And the problem is that the vagina has this delicate pH, and when you get rid of the bacteria that keep the environment at a certain pH, you can have overgrowth of bad bacteria and get an infection. So we have to be careful when we're, you know, cleaning ourselves. And this is true for men also. You know, when you're over cleaning yourself and worried about certain odors, you want to just use very gentle soaps and water. There's no reason to go to town on yourself with something that's going to change the pH to your skin. You know, there are a lot of people that over shower and then they are prone to eczema.
Yeah.
It's not an uncommon issue, you know, in the health world that people like try to mask something that's normal. All right. So having said that, there are some common vaginal odors that are not normal. And that's something that people should definitely be aware of. So the article that you looked at, there were five different odors that they sort of brought up that people with vaginas definitely need to be aware of. So the first one is this fishy odor, Chris. And that's usually, you know, the situation I usually tell people when they're concerned is that you want to look for other symptoms. So it's not just going to be a smell, although if you have a bacteria called bacterial vaginosis, which is BV for short, it's common, and it can be treated with antibiotics. And of course, as its name implies, it's caused by a bacteria. And it's an imbalance of different kinds of bacteria, and sometimes it can give off a strong odor that people say smells a bit like fish, but people with vaginas will also tell you that there's a discharge involved that's either white or gray and okay. Some itching. So when something is wrong, and usually you have a sense that something is wrong, it's a great time to go see a medical professional because a lot of this stuff is very, very easily treated.
Okay.
So that's the first odor that's not normal. Okay. I wanted to piggyback this too, Chris, in telling you that, you know, there's this sort of this funny old wives' tale about things in your diet that can change the way your bodily odor is or your bodily how you taste. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah, because that comes up a lot with people saying that if men eat pineapple or other sweet things,
yes,
out their ejaculate will be sweeter. So I think it's like the brother and sister storyline. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And the funny thing is there is some truth to that. And, you know, the pineapple thing definitely went viral, you know, a couple years ago. It was all over the internet. But if you look at the way your body smells or the way that your bodily fluids may emit an odor, you know, when you're eating something like garlic or onion, you may notice the next day that you smell, like your sweat smells like it.
I always notice that in my armpit smell. I'll be at the gym. I will have eaten. I eat a lot of ethnic food, and so especially Indian food, which I love. And so the next day I will smell it in my armpits.
Completely. And you know what? The same is true for someone who may have alcohol or coffee. Sometimes you smell it in your urine in the same way that you may smell like a cruciferous vegetable,
right,
especially asparagus, which will linger in the urine for about, you know, 12 to 24 hours, depending on the person. Those types of foods absolutely affect the way that you smell and the way that you taste. And so that's an issue. You know, clearly our food, what we ingest, can make a difference in what we're emitting. So that's something to keep in mind. Some people complain, you know, if they're you know, hooking up, that they, you know, prefer things not like spices and herbs that are used in certain cultural cuisines like Indian, which can be very pungent and very strong, including garlic and onions, which may change the way the semen tastes or the vaginal fluid tastes or the way you sweat and that kind of thing. So it may be something you want to be aware of if you're hooking up with a sensitive partner. The other thing I wanted to tell you is the other smell that may not be normal is a vagina that smells like bread or beer. Usually, okay, if you have a yeast infection, and this is a sign of a yeast infection, people will notice an overgrowth of yeast, which sort of looks like this thick white coating in or around your genitals, similar to what people will say is cottage cheese.
Okay.
Although, you know, I've heard from a lot of people it's not as thick as cottage cheese. Of course, it's yeast overgrowth. It's the same thing that can happen if somebody is on an antibiotic. This can happen in men and women, by the way. You can get yeast overgrowth in your mouth. You can get it in the anal canal, in a place where, you know, your body has this pH, again, that's being balanced. If you're on a ton of antibiotics. It's one of the reasons that you go on a probiotic so you don't have the overgrowth of bacteria or yeast that can potentially populate these areas in the mouth or intestines or vaginal and anal canal. So that's one thing also you want to obviously go and seek medical attention for. There are other things too. You know, there are other odors that can smell and make our vagina smell a certain way. Sometimes, you know, this is one of those things that happens when doctors are treating people that come in and will have a tampon that they forgot for days and even longer. When I was in medical school, we had someone come in who had left a tampon in, I think, for a couple months, and it was a mess. Major vaginal infection. You know, she said that her vagina smelled like rotten meat. I know this is, I hope no one's eating while they're listening to this.
I mean, what's fascinating, what I'm hearing in some of this is just we have to get so much more familiar with our bodies and understand. And again, let's be a little graphic. You know, we have to get more comfortable maybe touching our bodies, smelling our bodies, when I'm in the shower, getting familiar with what our baseline smells might be and what we're eating. I mean, I'm always advocating for that. Like, have a sense of your body. If you're not aware that something's been left in you, I'm concerned that you're not really maybe cleaning yourself and checking in on yourself, correct? Would you agree with that?
No, I absolutely agree on it. And I think that's why, you know, we talk about self-breast exams when it comes to people doing self-breast exams to protect themselves against breast cancer. And the news is always out, you know, it's always mixed about whether it changes the prognosis or not. But most of the time, people that are doing self-breast exams are very proactive when it comes to their health. So someone that's going to leave behind a tampon may be slightly oblivious to things that are going on in the body because you will get an infection from that, and obviously you don't want to leave a foreign object in your body, no matter what it is, whether it's a sex toy or, you know, a tampon or anything else that might be there. So I agree with you, and I think we need to destigmatize this in a major way. I think people have a very hard time talking about this, and it's important. It's important, as Chris said, to know your body, know what your normal smells are, what's normal for you, and the truth is that most people or partners of people will pick up things that are amiss in somebody, the more proactive you are about your health. So if you notice that your smell is off or you don't feel well or you have symptoms that go along with some of these infections, definitely time to go see someone who can help you in the medical field.
I love it. Jen, Dr. Wider, blowing our minds. And as always, let me just throw in there, you know, it's such a sensitive thing, especially for a partner to pick that up and to have to share that with someone to say, hey, you know, so I would say it very lovingly if you need to point something out to the person you're with that maybe there's a smell that they might want to be aware of. So always bring that compassion piece in. But Dr. Jen Wider, where can people find you?
You can find me across social media at Dr. Wider, D-R-W-I-D-E-R.
Awesome. Have a great holiday. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Chris. You too. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Coming up next, we got our question of the night, so still some time to weigh in on that. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
We're back. We got our question of the night up on our Loveline page. Weigh in on that, and I got to tell you something. So every now and then, there's people who never stop and surprise me with what they're up to. And Goopy, Gwyneth Paltrow, is at it again with this one. I had to bring this one up to y'all. I wanted you to experience this with me. So, oh my gosh, there's like two parts to this. So she apparently has like a holiday gift guide, and it's rooted in the things that she sells. So she's now selling what they're calling a restraining arts kit. It's basically like a, you know, 50 Shades of Grey BDSM kinky 101 kit. But of course, they have to have a fancy name. It's called a restraining arts kit. There's really not much in there. I'm looking at it right now, a picture of it. And it's basically like restraining straps. Ready for this one, though? On the website, it's $1,350. $1,300 for their little restraining arts kit. My God. Those things can be found at your local sex shop or online for like $50 or $60 and probably just as high quality. We don't want to get leather ones because we don't want to be using or buying leather. We want to get the cotton or the fake leather or the furry ones, but bless it, man. Bless that stuff. So that's Paltrow over there. Jeez. So this one I wanted to talk about because this is inspired by a triggering topic for a lot of people. I got some emails about this one, which was really kind of surprising to me, but it's basically rooted in age gap relationships. I wanted to go over what some celebrities are up to age-wise. And this is me kind of rubbing it in the faces of those that were upset with me based on talking about how I thought that it's okay. And that, you know, being with someone who's in a different age bracket doesn't necessarily doesn't necessarily mean they're disempowering the partner of the younger age, or that they're being creepy, or they want to dominate, or whatever it is. Because the assumption was always that it's a man that's older and the woman's younger. But there's examples of the complete flip. Demi Moore is one of my favorite ones. But there's also lesbian couples of, you know, very different ages. So we're going to talk about some of these. I love this. So Jay-Z and Beyonce. They have 12-year age difference. I had no idea. Catherine Schwarzenegger of the Schwarzenegger family, 29. Her husband, I didn't know this because I don't keep up with this stuff. Husband's 40. Chris Pratt, 40 years old. I didn't know that. She's 29. He's 40. I had no idea he got married. I'm looking at a picture of them. I didn't even know who she was, but that's cute. What were the other ones I thought was really interesting? I'm scrolling through because there's a few that I wanted to talk about. Nah, that one's not so interesting. They're not so interesting. That one's not so great. But I just so you know, there's like a stack in front of me, and it's everything from 9 to 15 years age difference. Here we go. Here's a good one. Matthew McConaughey and Camila Alves. 13 years. 13-year age difference. Y'all cracking me up. All right, though. We got time to do now the X-Files. So, of course, we got Wesley Woods with us. We're going to do a little X-Files. I want to hear the music. I want to hear the woo-woo-woo.
Oh, are you talking to me?
Yeah. What's going on, Wes?
Are you talking to me? Boo, 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 boo.
Yeah, we were missing you. I was talking about age gap relationships, hoping you would join us.
What?
Yeah.
Age gap relationships? Oh, well, I can't even. I have a conversation about that, but I don't know if I want to put my brother on blast just yet.
Oh, really? Well, do you like our little music?
Oh, my God. There's the actual X-Files thing.
Sure is. So what interesting X story do you have for us tonight?
So not here in the U.S. of A., but I'm sure it has happened before. But there is a man, and I will not say in which country, what region, or where he is from, because it does not matter. But he set up a camera to catch a ghost inside his home at night. And you will not believe what he caught. You want to take a guess?
His cat doing something shady?
His girlfriend was having an affair with their 16-year-old, with his 16-year-old son.
See, that's real. Because ready for this one?
I love that you did not even phase. You're like, okay.
No, you know why? You know why I wasn't phased? Because one of the stories I was sharing earlier tonight was there's a story of an older gay couple, and they separated, and the one partner started dating their daughter's ex-boyfriend, who's 25.
Hold on. Say that one more time.
Yes. So there's a gay couple, and they're both in their 50s. They separate, and they have a daughter. They have a daughter who's 25. They separate, and the one dad starts dating the daughter's ex-boyfriend, who's 25. But wait, it got better. We shared that last week.
Now, was it like the biological dad that started? I mean, either way, it's pretty tough because you're raised as by these parents, right?
It's the daughter's boyfriend. But it gets better because I updated the story because there's more added to it tonight. The father and the daughter's ex-boyfriend, who are now together and they all live together, are now going to use a surrogate and have a child.
Okay, if you could see my face right now, yeah. My eyes didn't blink and my mouth is dropped.
But Wesley, this is the beautifully diverse and creative life and world that we live in. But I can't imagine setting up a camera. All I'm trying to do is catch ghosts, mind my business, and then I find out that someone's having sex with my child. Like, yeah. Where do you even go from there? Like, how do you, God bless, makes you want to set up cameras everywhere. What are we missing out on?
Well, I don't even know. I mean, at least with like our story, they're adults who are consenting legally to what's happening, right?
Yeah.
I'm assuming in some ways.
Yes.
Like, this is a child.
Because we got too late, we actually have to go. But before we go, I want to just quickly ask you, how's your current relationship going?
Oh, never better. I'm not putting up any cameras, bitch.
Yeah, you learned. All right, Wesley Woods.
You.
Thank you for joining us. Well, see you later. Coming up next, we got our question of the night, so still some time to weigh in on that. And then we'll be sliding into those DMs. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, question of the night time. Tonight's question is...
Question of the night.
Oh, man. I will never get used to that one. I don't know what it is. You'd think I don't do it four nights a week.
I told you right before.
Yeah, I know. Producer Jeffrey literally is like, don't forget, there's the sound. And I'm like, yeah, no, I know. And then literally I forget.
Oh, my God.
Maybe we'll just get rid of that. It's like more of a nuisance. You know what I mean? Let's just be honest. All right. Tonight's question is, what impact does social media have on society? It's got a big one because it's the number one influencer, meaning it used to be like family, school, things like that, that had the heaviest influence on us socially. But social media now, the amount of time that we spend with our psyches bathed in it. All right. What do y'all think, though, the impact social media has on us today? First person said, I think it's kind of like unhealthy food. A little bit's fine now and then. Most people balance things out and there's no issues. Some people are snacking on social media 24/7, forgetting how real socializing works and creating a problem for themselves that spills over into the lives of others close to them. I would bet in about 10 years, I will look at having an Instagram the same way they look at people who smoke cigs. Wow. I actually really like your perspective. I value that. I think I can see where we would look back and say that wasn't necessarily part of mental health, right? That's great. I actually really value what you just said. Someone else's thoughts on social media and the impact on society. Someone said, social media is increasingly giving a larger and larger voice to more and more people. The creepy neighbor whom you might have only glanced at on your way to the office might now be sharing photos of their horde of cats with their Facebook friends or tweet about how their neighbor, you, doesn't take care of their crappy lawn. More information isn't always worthwhile information. I'm loving all your answers today because I agree with what you're just saying. And I know you're skewing kind of the funny and funky, but it gives people more of a voice and everyone has a right to have a platform for their voice, not just those that have access to television or media, such as radio or YouTube or things like that. So I think it makes people now feel kind of part of community and like they all have a space. Someone else said their thoughts are, I think it depends on what you use it for. I post a lot of stuff about photography and 3D printing and learn a lot of cool stuff about what other people are up to. I'm not on social media for affirmation or love or friendship. In my case, social media has been a very positive experience. I appreciate what you're saying as well, because I use it for my own career, right? For some marketing around work I'm doing. But like yourself, I use it to learn about what other people are doing, what other people are thinking, to find new thoughts, to get educated. I follow a lot of people that have educational posts and thought-provoking posts. So I agree with you. It's kind of how you use it. Someone else said about the impact of social media, it's ultimately a positive. It does have negatives, but I think the positives outweigh the negatives. It allows for easy communication between people who are literally distant. It's good for spreading knowledge, science, and other things. Exactly. That's how I use it. And for some people, it is their social life because of disability or confidence issues or geographics, and they don't have access to community or people that reflect back and relate to who they are specifically. It becomes their social life. And I think that's really powerful. And some people also have met people and fallen in love off of it. So I think it could have a lot of capacities in that realm as well. Someone else said it really depends on the individual. Anyone with a good level of self-control and are able to utilize the good while weeding out the bad, then it's positive. People who just like to absorb negative stuff like a sponge, bad for them. I agree. You got to kind of check in on who you are and the impact it has on you based on your personality and characterological style. Someone else said, so many people on social media are fake, blows things out of proportion, etc. But I have to say, I wouldn't want it not to exist. I've met so many great people through it and met the best person in the whole wide world, smiley face. I agree. I'd rather have it than not. I'd rather just learn how to use things versus getting rid of everything that's sharp that we bump into. So yeah, we got to learn some management and healthier use. Someone else said slightly negative, mainly due to how it's changing people's perception of privacy. I feel like social media has caused people to value privacy less, which is making things difficult for those of us who do value it. Bam. And someone else said people can't stop staring at their phones when in person. Yeah, we got to put them down. I'm that person that's always like, I'll wait till I put it down. All right, thanks to those that participated. We have a whole bunch more, but we don't have time. Coming up next, sliding back into those DMs. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, sliding into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world and we want you to explore with confidence. Before we get in the DM, I just want to give a shout out to Trojan. They're part of a campaign that I think is amazing. Right now in DC, there's a wall of gum, real gum, and it's by Trojan, and it says, you are not chewed gum. Now, the reason why this is really powerful is because the evangelical purity culture has traditionally used this metaphor around gum, where in their abstinence-only education programs, which are shown to not work because people will still have sex, they will just have sex a little bit delayed. And when they do, they'll have high rates of teen pregnancy, STDs, and STIs because they don't know how to ask for what they want, set boundaries, speak, don't know what pleasure is about, and don't know how to use condoms, where to find them. Basically, the abstinence-only programs usually compare people, and I've seen these done, who have sex before marriage. They compare them to gum. chewed used gum. And they say in this harmful message that, you know, you've lost your value to future people. You're like this piece of chewed gum. So Trojan tweeted out as part of his campaign, Trojan and Advocates tweets are taking a stand for honest, inclusive sex education and challenging abstinence only program in schools with their gum wall in DC. You got to see this thing. It's beautiful. It's this huge wall of actual chewed gum saying you are not chewed gum, Trojan. So thank you, Trojan. Always fighting the good fight. That's stunning. I love big, powerful acts of advocacy like that. That's like the purity rings that Nadia Bowles-Welber, she's a really amazing pastor of a all-inclusive trans, gay, et cetera, church. And she had people send in their purity rings, melted them down to a golden vagina, and traveled the country with it. Love that stuff. All right, here we go. DMs. I love you, Dr. Chris. Thank you for all you do. Thank you. My boyfriend and I are monogamous. I'm comfortable and willing to bring others, regardless of gender, into our sex life. And he is too. However, here comes the however, he has expressed interest in polyamory. Not now or soon, but someday in the future. I'm not comfortable with polyamory, and it really heightens my anxiety mentally and physically. How can I get more comfortable with polyamory? Will polyamorous anxiety ever resolve? Thanks so much, Dr. Chris. First off, I just love your openness. I love that you're in a great relationship. I love that you're comfortable bringing others in. So you are comfortable with some form of openness, even though you're monogamous. You're comfortable and willing to see your partner with others in states of pleasure and vice versa. That's beautiful. Polyamory, you know, I would say do some education. There's so many powerful books to read, and a lot of them will talk about anxiety, jealousy, how to work through it, how to fall into and practice compersion, which is the opposite of jealousy, the feeling of happiness, seeing your partner happy. Which really what happiness is happiness should be when your partner's happy, we feel happy, right? And just really helping break down the struggles around polyamory, but also it's empowering a lot of these books because they talk about how to empower yourself, what to expect, what to ask for, different ways to practice it, different ways to not practice it. And it's going to ease a lot of your anxiety and it's going to help you see what's doable and the sustainability and beauty of it. So I'd say do some education. Also follow some social media accounts that are really pro polyamory, and I think it'll start to absorb because that's what it is. We've been raised in a world where we only see monogamy. Our friends are monogamous. We see monogamy only on television. Our parents are monogamous generally. And so we don't have any mentors. We don't have any role models. We don't have any people to look to see what it could look like or how it can work out. That's changing, but do the work. You know, just keep reading some stuff. A lot of great books out there. Tristan Taramino has an iconic book called Opening Up. Janet Hardy's The Ethical Slut. It's also a book called More Than Two. All these books are really great books, really thought-provoking. There's a whole bunch. Just do the research. Keep listening to the show and all will be well. It's good stuff. Tamara Pincus is also a therapist. She has a book out. So anyway, check them all out. Dr. Eli Sheff, all these people doing great work. Sliding into the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world. We want you to explore with confidence. Our show, always podcasted at wearechannelq.com. So go back, check them out, share and post them, re-listen. Y'all, thanks for hanging out. As always, have an awesome, awesome night.